Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast for the week of November 13th. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkoff. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, Butterfield Bermuda Championship, the penultimate event of the PGA Tour Fall Series, is in the books. We will break down Camilo Villegas' first win in over 9 years. We had the DP World Tour in action this past week at the Ned Bank Golf Challenge in South Africa. We will talk about that as well as the DP World Tour Championship, which takes place this week with a star-studded field. Just about every European in the top 50 is in the field, so we will break down that. And the final event of the fall series on the PGA Tour, the RSM Classic in Sea Island, Georgia, is taking place this week. We will talk about that as well as break down what players need, who's around the top 60, who's around the top 125, and how they need to play this week to secure their full-time status on the PGA Tour or potentially play their way into the elevated events starting in 2024. Also, we will talk about the new Netflix Cup, which is taking place today, November 14th, on Netflix, live on Netflix. We'll talk about the TGL. We have a new team that has been announced. And finally, we have some Korn Ferry Q School second stage action, which starts today. But first, Brad, Camilo Villegas, first win in 9 years at the ripe age of 41. This guy's been through it. Lost his daughter at a very young age. Kind of fell off over the last 9 years. But this is what I think the fall series can lead to, stories like this, where you have Camilo winning for, almost a decade. What more can you want?
I don't think you can ask for much more. You can't ask for a better story. That's for sure.
No. I mean, and God, he feels like he was right around Ricky when Cobra picked up Ricky, and he kind of seemed like the next big thing for golf and for Cobra in general and golf in general. But as we've seen it before, and we've talked about on the show many times, things can go awry very quickly. And you can lose the game just as quickly as you found it. And that may have been the case, but after a T-second or a second place last week and now a win this week, starting to see a little trend.
Yeah, it's honestly pretty impressive. And obviously everybody knows Camilo from his classic stance when he was reading greens, like we mentioned last week. I was sad to see that he doesn't do it anymore. But yeah, I mean, to go from being in wasn't he in Q school? Wasn't he about to have to go through Q school?
He would have had to after that second place finish last week that got him to 147th in the standings, I believe, or something around there. So he was still going to be outside looking in.
Right. And so now after this, he's like good for 2 years and gets to play in the Masters. And so, I mean, yeah, like you said, this is what the fall series should be about, is just inspirational stories. They should just ban anyone who doesn't have the possibility of an inspirational story from playing in the fall swing.
That's genius. If you don't, yeah, you better. And that's like when you're filling out your, I assume they do some kind of like player card to make sure you have your name spelled right and stuff. And you have to put like there's a few little lines at the bottom. And it's like in 5 sentences or less, tell us why we think you should be here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So what's give us a story that's gonna make headlines.
Yeah. Give us something. Feel bad for Alex Noren. This guy just cannot get a win. He has three second place finishes on the PGA Tour, still looking for that first win. And it looked like he was pretty well set up to do it. He still shot 68 on Sunday. He He was 22 under in second place, solo second place, led by one going into the final round. Camilo shoots a 65 on Sunday. Alex shoots 68, loses by two. Matt Smith shot 67 on Sunday to shoot solo third. Carl Yoon shot 66 on Sunday to shoot to finish solo fourth. Adam Scott, who I think we mentioned earlier on in the week, shot 67 on Sunday to finish T5th alongside Ryan Moore to round out your top five. But that's Alex Noren is a guy that I have a feeling he's knocking. He could be knocking as early as this week.
Oh.
But it does feel, I mean, he has been right on the doorstep now, as mentioned, previously mentioned, two top two finishes in the last three events, or top three finishes in the last two events is not too bad.
Yeah, and then even stretching it back, you go a little bit farther back, he played well for the 3M. He actually played well at the Open, too. So there could be some merit there. T9 at the Rocket Mortgage this year. He's definitely trending upwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is one that is going to be sitting right on the edge looking for the designated events starting in with the Sony Open in 2024. He's in 64th place right now. So a good finish this week should get him in to that event into the top 60. All right, so moving on to the Nedbank Golf Challenge, which we somehow let get through, slip through the cracks. This was part of the DP World Tour in South Africa at the Gary Player Country Club. Max Homa gets his, what I believe now is his sixth career professional win, five on the tour, one internationally. He has pretty commanding four-shot win. He shot 66, 68, 69, 66 to shoot 19 under par. He bettered Nikolai Højgaard by four shots. Nikolai shot 15 under, 66, 70, 69, 68. Thorbjørn Olsen shot 14 under. Justin Thomas shot 12 under. I was honestly, before this all started, I was thinking that they were just over there on an African safari. But that was a business trip.
I know. They were posting some pretty funny pictures, and this one just completely went under the radar, I feel like.
Yeah, and I really liked. I don't know if you heard, Max Homa gave an interview to Iona Stewart, I think is her name. She's the on-course girl for the DP World Tour, and she's awesome. Like, she is by far my favorite on-course commentator. And he was talking, and he was like, essentially like, well, there's been a lot of talk about growing the game, and I think part of growing the game is actually playing in other places. So I'm glad they got over there. I'm sure those fans were thrilled, beyond thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's some good players that were playing in this tournament. You even look down at, even some of the guys who didn't play well but are still like big names. You know, Justin Rose was there. Just played on the Ryder Cup. Tommy Fleetwood was there. Tommy played pretty well. Justin did not. But there's some big names, so it's great to see some of these fans from other countries have opportunities to watch some of these professionals and not have to travel all the way over here to the U.S.
Yeah, no, I'm sure this was a great experience for them. And then on that topic, the DP World Tour, they have their final event of the season this week, the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai at the the Earth Course. I don't know if that means they have a wind and water course too, but this is the Earth Course, Jumeirah Golf Estates in Dubai. Star-studded field, really, really solid field. Just looking at the odds board, Rory McIlroy at 4-1, John Rahm 550, Victor Hovland 6-1, Tyrrell Hatton 14, Matt Fitzpatrick 14, Tommy Fleetwood 16, Minwoo Lee 18, Tom Kim 22, Nikolai Højgaard 25, Shane Lowry 30, and we'll round out the Polish snub and Adrian Meronk at 33-1. So
pretty impressive.
There's golf to be watched this weekend.
Oh yes,
I will say that.
Yeah, no, I uh, I love Min Woon Lee. I know I've said that on here before, but he's electric.
Oh, he's great. And like we've said at the Instagram videos that he does, which I would typically find very corny. But
Right.
he does them, but he is just very cool.
It's that, and it's almost like, I don't want to say they're kind of satirical, but I think they kind of are. I mean, I think in a sense, you know.
You would think so, at least a little bit. You would maybe.
Maybe not.
I think he's
Maybe that's just me.
self-aware. I think he's self-aware enough to know to he's self-aware enough to know that I think he's just trying to be a little funny.
Yeah.
Maybe a little funny.
Right.
Get some giggles out of the folks.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
We got Bobby Mack in the field this week too. Another Ryder Cup performer.
Oh.
So interested to kind of follow Bobby now that I know his name from the Ryder Cup, and whenever I see it, I'll definitely be tuned in to see how he performs.
Yeah, I will be it'll be interesting to see. He's not that old, right? I mean, he's got to be younger than us.
No. Well, maybe.
Yes.
Let's see. I think yes, he is. He's 27 and 3 months old.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So he's just getting started. He just needs to break through onto the PGA Tour, which I think he has, and then he just wasn't able to maintain.
I would love if he did, because he's just got an electric. He's got a name that's fun to say.
Oh
Bobby
yeah.
Mack. I
Yeah.
mean, it's just smooth.
All right,
But
so
yeah, I mean, so pretty impressive from the field this week. I mean, just some guys that are fun to watch. Victor Hovland, he's been kind of hanging low since the Ryder Cup, but I'm excited to see him back in action. I think he's going to have a huge year this year, but that's not really saying much since that's just kind of the trend for him. But yeah, hasn't played since the BMW in September.
yeah, I have a feeling that's the case for,
Most of them.
a hefty majority of the names that I just listed on the odds board. I have not played. Tom
Are
Kim
they
has played.
do
Tommy Fleetwood has played, but it's a short list.
Do we think there's going to be any animosity between Rory and Jon Rahm this weekend because of the TGL news?
I don't know. That's a good point. I would like to think probably not. I think I'm gonna say no.
Do we think there's a chance Rory could get in a fight with Rahm's caddy?
With Rahm's caddy.
Yeah, you know, I've never, it's not like Rory's been not known to fight caddies.
Picking fight. Yeah, that is true. That is quite possible. They might square up in the parking lot again. Did you see? I didn't read too much into it. I just saw the headline, which it might have just been like a complete clickbait headline, and now I'll regret saying this, but did Rory McIlroy call Patrick Cantlay like an asshole this week or something like that? I thought he called him something.
I did not see that, but now I feel like I have to do a quick Google search to see. Oh, Rory McIlroy calls Patrick Cantlay a dick. The headline says Rory McIlroy calls Patrick Cantlay a dick, reveals how Tiger Woods tried to intervene in Ryder Cup dust-up.
That is such like a that's such a Tiger Woods. If anybody could intervene in that situation, it is Tiger Woods. Just like, hey, you cut it out. You stop both you guys. Cut that out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like a dad stepping in and being like, all right, enough's enough.
Yeah, he was doing an interview with some. It was with, I want to say he was doing an interview with somebody, but Shane Lowry was there too. Yeah, it was Shane and Rory interviewed by Paul Kimmage of the Irish Independent.
Yep.
If you want to watch the DP World Tour, you're going to have to get up quite early, 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Thursday. Same with Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday you're going to have to get up a half hour earlier, 1:30 to 7:30, for the DP World Tour Championship coverage, and that is on Golf Channel and Peacock. All right. Moving over to, let's do some, we'll talk about Q School real quick. So we have three guys from Michigan that are still in the second stage of Q School. Two of them are playing right now. Another one doesn't play for another couple of weeks. So Eric Lillibo from Okemos, he is 2 over through 9 playing at the Robert Trent Jones Highlands Marshwood golf course in, it looks like Dothan, Alabama. So I think that put him in like T50th, 52nd, something like that. So he has a little bit of work to do over the next few days. Willie Mack from Flint is leading through 9 holes at 4 under par in Florida. That's at the Teresso Club in Port St. Lucie. And then Alex Scott doesn't play until the 28th through 31st in Georgia at the Kinderlew Forest Golf Club. That's November 28th through December 1st. So we will keep you up to date on how those guys fare. What do you think about this new Netflix, the Netflix Cup? They're I'll tell
I
you what,
don't.
they're doing a lot of golf that's not actually golf. We're just loving non-golf stuff.
Yeah, it's like becoming like a do I dare say it's becoming like a TikTok sport?
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Cut that. Cut that.
Yeah, I don't I'm very interested to this is something that once again another thing that I don't feel like they promote it all too well. I've seen previews for it over the last, I would say, couple weeks, maybe even a month or two. So there is a new like I said, another golf event that is where they're not actually playing golf on a golf course. I guess they are in this case, but it's not the normal
It's
stroke
it.
play that you would see Thursday through Sunday on the PGA Tour.
It's kind of like the match, but on steroids a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of putting it. So this is for PGA Tour players, for F1 drivers. It's a little mix of the Netflix Drive to Survive and Netflix. What the hell is the drive or the what's the golf one called?
Full swing.
Full Swing. So the Netflix Full Swing and the Netflix Drive to Survive, a little mashup of those two. So there are, like I said, four PGA Tour players: Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Max Homa, and Colin Morikawa. Who I would say those guys right there interest me. There's not a name there where that draws me in a little bit, I would say. And then over the last few years, I have become a little bit more of an F1 guy as well. So Lando Norris, who is with McLaren, he is playing with Ricky Fowler. Carlos Sainz, who is with Ferrari, is playing with Justin Thomas. Alex Albon, who is with Williams Racing, is playing with Max Homa. And then Pierre Gasly, who is with Alpine, is playing with Colin Morikawa. If I'm reading this correct, they will play, and they don't love playing 18 holes anymore either. And they don't love playing 9 holes.
No, just a weird number.
We're playing 8 holes of match play with featuring some surprise challenges. Following the match play, the top team from each foursome will compete in a playoff hole to crown a winner. Each match will be a scramble with each player teeing off on each hole after selecting one of their drives, both players hitting that shot, yada yada, so on and so forth. As I said in the intro, this very much feels like it's just going to be, in this case, match one is Lando and Ricky versus Carlos and Justin. Is this not just going to be Ricky versus Justin with help on the putter?
Yeah, there's definitely gonna have to be some kind of
Like
twist
a
or something.
huge yardage gap.
Yeah, so, like something's got to give. Otherwise, yeah, obviously it'll just be the golf pros against each other. That would seem silly to not level the playing field in some way for the F1 guys.
It is live, isn't it?
That I don't know.
I'm pretty sure
That I am.
it's live on Netflix, which is something I've never heard of before.
And now that you said that, I think you're right, which yeah, is very interesting. And how that I don't understand streaming companies and how that even works. Like, how do they So they've just had the ability to do to go live this whole time, and they've just never done it until now. That seems crazy.
That's what it seems like.
That seems crazy. But so you mentioned earlier though that you've become more of an F1 guy. So I've always I've never been a big F1 guy. I've even lived with people that were F1 fans. I have friends that are pretty big F1 fans, and I've just never really gotten into it. I gotta say, this is a pretty smart idea because for me, as someone who's not an F1 fan, I'm starting to think that F1's a little cooler now. Now they're playing golf with the PGA Tour pros, so F1's starting to look a little more appealing to me. Maybe I'll follow some of these guys that are going to be playing with the Tour pros, and I'll be fans of them and kind of keep track of them on the F1 a little bit, because now F1 is just a little bit cooler.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any the cross. I guess there's probably a crossover. I mean, F1 and golf seem like they have similar. I got because I was thinking of like racing and golf, which seems like there's probably very little crossover. But F1 seems like the luxurious NASCAR,
Oh,
the
yes.
penthouses of NASCAR.
Oh, there's some money in F1
Oh yeah,
for sure.
so. I do think there's a good chance for guy for people that just aren't golf fans that and I think this is how F1 exploded after Drive to Survive. That's a big reason why I got into it, and I think golf has only benefited from Full Swing. So to bring them together, I think is huge. It'll be, and even if it's not, I think once again maybe we aren't the target audience here. I can see it being for the younger eyes. And 8 holes quicker. God, I'm afraid before we die, the PGA Tour is not going to be 72 holes.
Or it'll be like they'll all start having push carts.
Yeah. I'm worried about something to think about.
Oh,
Something to think
jeez.
about. All right. So final thoughts, you're going to watch it?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tune in.
It won't be live. I won't be watching live.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be watching it live. No, but I'll watch it. Like I said, I'm curious to see these F1 guys, and I don't know, just see how they mesh. I mean, I'm assuming a lot of these guys already know each other. They're just famous athletes at this point.
Yeah, right. And they get to go to all like the famous athlete clubs together.
Yeah,
The
they
boy,
do all
the.
the dinners and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think, and I think that. I imagine F1 drivers are good at golf. They have good hand-eye coordination. They travel all around the world. Like they probably play a lot of golf at a lot of cool
Yeah.
places.
Well, yeah, I would. Do you think that they did like a it's funny to think about how do you think they picked the F1 drivers? Do you think they sent out like a email and they're like, send us a video of your swing and to see if you're worth any shake of putting on our
Yeah, best golfers wanted. Top four golfers
yes.
wanted.
Because there's no way they're just gonna stick some hack out there.
Yeah, I'd like to think not. I'd like to think these guys
I
all.
bet all these guys are single digit handicaps.
Oh yeah, I bet. So let's just see. Lando Norris is probably the most. Maybe not the.
He's been on like YouTube. He's been on with like the good guys and stuff, right? Like he's been around the golf scene, I guess you could say, in like in quotations. Am I thinking of that correctly? Is that him? I feel like I've seen
Yes.
him.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yep, it is.
yeah.
Carlos Sainz has a handicap around 9. Who is the other two? Alex Albon and Pierre Gasly. Pierre Gasly. He is not as good. He's
Uh-oh.
about 20.
Oh, okay.
So he can get me at least get it around. And then Alex Albon.
Who's stuck with him? Morikawa? Who?
Well, and then just Williams Racing is they're just losers as it is, so this is tough.
Oh, no.
Alex Albon. Let's see here if I can find right here. So his girlfriend is an LPGA golfer. Muni Heat.
Interesting. Oh.
Let's see, and it does
So
not.
while you're looking that up really quick, I'm just gonna like toss out this little tidbit here that I hadn't seen before. There's actually some pretty electric people involved with the hosting. Got Marshawn Lynch hosting this. It should be quite interesting. Kay Adams, comedian Bert Kreischer. He should really stir up some controversy. That'll be interesting. They got Joel Damon as a host. So that should be pretty interesting.
That's great. Those are some great names. Alex Albin's handicap is not public information.
Oh, so it's bad.
It's bad.
Oh, okay. He keeps it private. Uh-oh.
Doesn't even have an established handicap in 2023.
Well, then we got I gotta imagine then that this is gonna be they're gonna have to give these guys strokes. I mean, dude's a 20 handicap. That's like, I mean, you gotta imagine these pros are like a plus 10,
Yeah, at least.
plus
And
eight,
then, well, they can't do
30.
strokes if it's a scramble.
Oh yeah, you're right. You just said it was a scramble. So yeah, what the?
13.6 for Lando Norris. And
Wow,
actually,
that's
I
higher than I
don't
thought.
think that is who I saw. Who? Daniel Ricciardo, I think, is who. Yeah, I think Daniel Ricciardo was the one that we've seen in the YouTube videos.
Ah, okay. Yeah, 'cause I was gonna say I remember seeing an F1 guy in some of the YouTube videos and he had a pretty decent swing. So how did he get snuffed?
I don't know. That's a good
Interesting.
question.
Interesting. Well, anyway, yes, I will I'm sure I will watch. I don't know if I will watch live.
All
So
right. So we'll see. I will also watch. I think it'll be interesting. And then we have some new TGL news. The Atlanta Drive Golf Club has finalized their four team or their four man team to play alongside Justin Thomas. That is Patrick Cantlay, fifth ranked player in the world, seven-time PGA Tour winner Billy Horschel, and six-time PGA Tour winner Lucas Glover. Hoo doggy. I think this seems like a strategical play by the TGL just to stick Patrick and Lucas in the same team and just say ratings might take a hit. This one day, every couple weeks, Atlanta Drive might not be doing the TV numbers that some of their teams are doing, but that's all right.
Can you just even picture like Justin Thomas trying to get all into it and he's getting pumped up and he goes to his partner and it's Patrick Cantlay? I mean, I'd rather watch paint dry.
I don't know how Patrick Cantlay was put in. Not even that he was selected. Why would he want to do something like this?
I swear, I feel like if we went back in a couple episodes ago, we made a joke about putting Lucas Glover and Patrick Cantlay on the same team. I swear. And look what came to fruition just for us.
Know. So we talked about, I know, a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago, we talked about just the fact that the comedic value will be there, and just the awkwardness will drive this programming for months, for me at least. And this just solidified that take that I could watch Patrick Cantlay and Lucas Glover, even if they do nothing, for 6 2-hour matches in a row. In that seventh match, they're gonna do something so ridiculous that it's gonna be worth that entire time and then some.
Yeah, now that you say it, I think just about the only way I would watch is if they put Patrick Cantlay with Lucas Glover just for the comedic value, potential comedic value that could come out from the two of them being together. You know, I've really gone out on a ledge here of just full on Lucas Glover bashing. And I'm starting to kind of hope that he puts me in my place and he's just absolutely hilarious on the show. I actually really honestly don't know a ton about Lucas Glover's like personality. And I've really gone out on just the Lucas Glover hate.
I have noticed that, and I've tried to stray away because I think he's just like a good old Southern boy. That's
You know, he
just like he
probably
probably just
is.
like a slow talking, fairly like just easy going.
You know, until he proves me wrong, I'm staying. firmly in my camp. That's a challenge to Lucas Glover. Lucas, I challenge you to make Patrick Cantlay fun to watch.
What did he do to you besides have a little bit of sweat in his pants?
It was the pants. It was just the pants. That was too
There's
much.
a direct correlation between swamp ass and having no personality whatsoever.
There's just, yes. If there's somebody at a party that you don't want to go up and talk to, it's the guy who's just sweating through his cotton pants.
I'd almost say, not to play devil's advocate, but I'd almost think that the guy that has swamp ass is usually like a more funny guy.
Yeah, see there, but there's like a difference though. Like fun, like he just there. He doesn't have like those. He needs like a mullet or like a big beard or like something else. He needs something else.
We'll have to workshop that form.
Yeah.
What we can do, what we can do to help Lucas Glover's image.
Yes, I think we'd be the perfect candidates to help out.
Yeah, we will have to circle back on that. All right. So that is our TGL news for the week. I don't think there's anything else that really has come out. I do think it's been very funny when I hope they see the opportunity they have in front of them, and they put Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay in the first group or whatever it would be, the first show, the first session. I need to see them competing against each other, and I imagine that Patrick Cantlay is not going to wear a hat to this.
Oh my gosh, there's no way. Why would he?
I don't know. Maybe he's getting paid.
You know what the PGA Tour should have done is instead of partnering with F1, they should have partnered with like MMA and had Rory and Patrick Cantlay MMA.
I, for as good of golfers as I think F1 has the potential of being, I think MMA and like wrestlers are the worst golfers. And I don't want any wrestlers come beat me up over that take. But that's every golfer every wrestler I've seen try to play golf. It's typically not what you'd want out of a golf swing. But I could be proved wrong. Could be proven wrong.
What about a wrestler who also played baseball?
Oh boy. Oh,
Oh, oh,
that
oh
ball might go.
no.
That ball might go backwards.
Oh, jeez.
All right, and then we mentioned it. Final ep, or final. I keep saying episode. That's what this dang golf world's getting to these days. We're turning the episodes. The final tournament of the year on the PGA Tour Fall Series, the RSM Classic in Sea Island, Georgia. This is a 36-hole tournament for, I guess, I don't know how to phrase this. It's two 18-hole courses they're playing Thursday and Friday, the Seaside course and the Plantation course. Seaside course is par 70, 7,000 yards. The Plantation course is stock par 72, 7,000 yards, only 7,000 yards. Last year's scoring average was 69.7 on the Plantation course, which was a record low. Don't expect that to be the case this year with weather picking up. I expect to be a little bit lower or a little bit higher scoring than it was last year. Plantation's rough is about 1.5 inches, where the Seaside rough is about 2 inches long. Fairways and greens both been overseeded for the year. The greens are going to get to about a 12.5 on the Seaside course and then a 13 on the Plantation course. A lot going on this week. Very, very important week. Do you have the odds board there just for outrights?
I can pull it up here really quick. It'll just take me one moment. So the leader in the clubhouse or the favorite to win this week, Ludvig Åberg, Aubert, Åberg, Aubert, one of the two at
Who
12 to
knows?
one. Right behind him, Russell Henley, 14 to one. Two guys at 18 to one. That would be Cameron Young and Brian Harman. Got Corey Connors, the Canadian, at 25 to one. Eric Cole at 30 to 1, JT Poston at 33 to 1, and I will finish here with the last two at 35 to 1, and that is Denny McCarthy and the always electric Siwoo Kim, 35-1.
Yeah, so a couple names I really like. I mentioned in not even the intro, but we were talking about last week's tournament. I like Alex Norén a lot this week. He has some past success here. A T10th in 2019, a T18th in 2020, with podium finishes, as mentioned, top threes in two of his last three starts. Form is there. I do expect him to play well this week, and given the fact that he's on the outside looking in for top 60 as well. Another guy I really like is Corey Connors. He's 4 for 4
Yep.
here, top 25s in three of his last three appearances straight. As for it's it is his first. The tough thing is with some of these guys, like it's their first start since the Tour Championship, or so you wonder. That's a little rest versus rust scenario, and which one prevails. But if he is on, he's the best ball striker, one of the best ball strikers in the entire world. And when the wind picks up on CL, and I think it's crucial for what are fairly small greens to get the ball with the irons in play and on the greens. So I like Corey Connors a lot.
Yeah, Corey Connors was my pick this week. I like Corey a lot. The numbers are liking Corey a lot. I think it's just a matter of, yeah, like you mentioned, it's tough with the break in play, but if he's able to play like we think he is, then I really like him this week. Another guy I like that you didn't mention that we've talked about a bit is Siwoo Kim, and it's not because of his electric Instagram videos.
No,
He's played.
you're confusing Minwoo Lee and Siwoo.
Oh, oops. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Gosh. Siwoo Kim. I like him this week as well, though. Aside from the blunder there.
Don't think that this is his first start since the Asian Games, which obviously they dominated, so he's
Yep.
probably feeling pretty good. He hasn't to go to the military.
Yes, he's still riding that high. But the Datagolf seems to like him this week. Taking a look at his past performances, there's not really a reason to not look at him for some kind of finishing position this week. So, a name to keep out or keep an eye on.
So I think the most in obviously the big thing this week is getting inside the top 125. So I kind of have a breakdown of who needs to get where everyone is, and then to get inside the top 60, top 50 through 60 to get the to play in the designated events, the first two of the year in 2024, and then the top 125 guarantees full status on the PGA Tour next year, as well as a spot in the players. So Sam Ryder is in 60th place, so he just needs to play well, not fall back. I'm guessing that's probably about basing off this next one. Mark Hubbard is in 61st. He needs a solo 45th to get into that 60th spot. So I imagine Sam Ryder needs something around that 45th through 50th, 55, make the cut, and he will be in designated events for next year. Steven Yeager, 62nd, needs a solo 43rd. Thomas Dettry needs a solo 22nd. He's in 63rd. Alex Norén, who we previously mentioned, he needs a solo 25th to get into the top 60. Riley, sorry, in 66 needs a solo 15th. Brandon Wu in 67th needs a two-way tie for 14th at least. Keith Mitchell is in 69th, needs a solo 4th, and we'll just do the next few. Hayden Buckley is in 70th, needs a solo 4th. Justin Suh is in 71st, needs a three-way tie for 3rd, along with Aaron Rye, who is in 72nd, and Matt Naismith, who is in 73rd, could both use a two-way tie for 3rd to get into the top 60. And then moving on to getting into which I would probably consider the more important of the two, guaranteed job security for the next season, the top 125. Carl Yoon is currently at 125. Hendrik Norlander is at 126. He needs at least a solo 55th to maintain status. Maverick McNealy is in 127th. He needs a solo 33rd. Ryan Moore is in 128th. He needs a two-way tie for 16th. CT Pan is in 129th. He needs a two-way tie for 15th. Patton Kizzire, who is a, I'm pretty sure he's a Seattle resident. This is a name, I don't know where, can you see where he is on the odds board? That's a name.
Yep.
Given where he lives, he is in 130th right now. He needs at least a two-way tie for T14th. So that is one that I think he'll be playing his butt off this week to make sure that happens. Ryan
he
Palmer.
Is
yeah, what do you got?
200 to 1.
What about like a top 20?
He for a top 20, he is at 5 to 1.
Oh. That is something I would be interested in. Very much so. Just given where he is and where how well he needs to play this week. Ryan Palmer is in 131st. He needs a two-way tie for 12th. Zichang Dao is in 132. He needs a solo 11th. Scott Piercy is in 133. He needs a two-way tie for T8th. Kramer Hickok is in 134. He needs a solo 8th alongside Cameron Champ, who's in 135. Austin Smotherman, solo 7th, is needed at 136. And we will stop there. But a ton of guys that are, I mean, essentially, if you win this week, obviously you are in. And then there are a ton of guys that a solo second or even a solo third would do them a ton of good moving on to 2024. Because you still have conditional status if you finish 125 through, I want to say it's 150. But conditional status is exactly what it means, very conditional. So you never really know. I think a lot of these guys, if they don't qualify this week for top 125, will go to Q school. Third stage of Q school to try to earn a card that way, which is coming up here in not too long, about 30 days or so. Anybody else from the RSM Classic that you got your eyes on?
No, I think we pretty much, really the big one I had was Connors, and you mentioned him off the bat. So a couple of, just Michigan natives. You already mentioned Sam Ryder. I think Ryan Brehm will be playing. He actually played decently well last week, if I'm not mistaken. So there's still some Michigan ties and guys to root for as they're kind of making their last push here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is down to the nitty-gritty between the DP World Tour Championship, where they're paying out a ton of money this weekend with a really good field. So if you want to wake up early, watch some DP World Tour Championship and then flip over the RSM Classic in the afternoon, which will be obviously there are not as many big names as you would see on a summer day in July, but there are 10 times more stories this week than there will be during those times, just with all of the cards in the line and maintaining and keeping, and very important. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yep. You'll see the guys that really want it.
Yep. You've been playing any golf or anything, or you're in full time winter mode?
No, I haven't been swinging. I've been putting a ton. I've set a goal for myself. I'm trying to putt every day this winter.
Your poor back.
I know. but I have not gotten anything solidified with the simulator or anything yet. We are actually still kind of open. So I could still try to get out and walk, but I haven't, man. I've just been, kind of getting into winter mode, getting into that off season, getting ready for next year. So I know it's sad.
It is sad. Played on Sunday at Springbrook. That was about as green as I've seen out there in a while.
It looked nice.
This fall rain has been really nice.
Were the greens still really, really hard, or have they softened up a bit?
They've softened up nicely. They were punched, obviously, and had some pediment or impediments on them, but nothing you can't handle for November 12th or whatever it was.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll take golf in November in Northern Michigan.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
All right, anything else?
No, we're saving Christmas for next week, so you guys have to wait one more week for Christmas shopping, but you probably should want to wait till Black Friday anyway, so but we will have that out for you before then. But I think outside of that, that's about it for me, so.
All right, well, good luck in your picks with the RSM Classic and the GP World Tour Championship and the Netflix Cup. Oh boy, this is a good time to be a golf fan.
Yep, the golf's on the rise,
Oh,
according
yeah.
to data. Golf is on the rise with the youth.
Yes,
So,
we will talk about that next week because I want to break that down more. Very curious to
yeah,
see what your thoughts
yes,
are.
yeah. I'll try to get some more info on it, and we'll take a look at it from an economic lens.
Cool.
So, but yeah. All righty. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yep. See ya.